Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive, ready to turn a whole stack of research into something we can actually use.
Always up for a good knowledge upgrade.
Today, we're looking at a case that went all the way to the 10th Circuit, EEOC versus the picture people. This one really gets into the weeds on reasonable accommodation under the ADA.
Always a fun area, right?
Picture this.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a deaf photographer, a portrait studio, and a big legal battle over whether the studio was discriminating or just, you know, trying to keep their business afloat.
Sounds like a real head scratcher. Where do we even start with this one?
Well, this case really forces us to think about the whole idea of essential job functions. You've got Jessica Kreisler, who's born deaf. She's hired by the picture people, and they call her a performer.
Performer. Interesting. So we're talking photography, right? I mean, that's pretty visual.
Right, you would think.
But hang on, there's a catch. Their job description, it specifically calls for strong verbal communication skills.
Hmm. Yeah, see, that's where it gets a little tricky.
So how did that work out for Jessica? I'm curious.
So during her training, and even on the job sometimes, she used written notes, gestures, and there were times she had an ASL interpreter.
Okay, so it sounds like they were at least making an effort, right?
Yeah, they were trying. And get this, she actually did a good number of photo sessions, totally successfully. There's even this family, the Krolls, who testified about what a positive experience they had with her.
So it was working.
It seems like it was, but there's always a but, isn't there?
Uh-huh, usually.
The picture people later claimed that her communication style was causing issues, especially with customer interactions.
I can see how that might be a challenge, yeah.
They said it was especially tough when it came to, like, directing kids during the photo shoots and, you know, that whole sales piece, getting people to buy those photo packages.
Ah, so the sales aspect, I see.
Yeah. So they claimed that verbal communication was, like, a make-or-break part of their sales strategy. They ended up moving Jessica mostly to lab work, saying it was a better fit.
Hmm. But was that really the case, or was this just a way to, I don't know, kind of push her aside?
Well, that's what the EEOC ended up arguing. After the holiday rush, her hours got cut way back, and then in May of 2008, she was let go. So the EEOC steps in, and they sue the picture people, claiming they didn't provide reasonable accommodations and might have even retaliated against her because she asked for them.
Okay, so this is getting pretty serious. What did the court have to say about all of this?
The huge question was whether Jessica could actually perform the essential functions of the job, even with accommodations, right?
Right.
And the majority opinion, get this, they sided with the picture people.
No way.
Yeah. They basically said that being able to talk was just so fundamental to being a performer there that no accommodation can truly bridge that gap.
Wow. It makes you wonder, how much power does the employer have in deciding what's essential, you know? Couldn't they just say anything's essential to avoid accommodating someone?
That's a huge point. And the court seemed to agree with the picture people's argument that they were super reliant on verbal communication to guide customers, and that if you changed that, it would totally change the job.
I see.
But couldn't you argue that a deaf photographer might actually bring a unique visual perspective that could, I don't know, actually make their service even better?
Absolutely, and that's where the dissenting opinion gets really interesting. Judge Holloway argues that the court was too quick to dismiss Jessica's successful photo shoots.
So he's saying those shoots proved she could handle the job.
Exactly. He felt like those were solid evidence that she could handle the essential functions and that the picture people were basically making assumptions about her because of her deafness.
It sounds like the dissent is really pushing back against those assumptions and kind of questioning if there was some bias at play here.
Yeah, for sure. Judge Holloway even pointed to the fact that Jessica's hours were suddenly cut right after she asked for accommodations as possible evidence of retaliation.
Oh, wow. So this whole thing started as a seemingly simple question of accommodation. Now it's this big legal fight about interpretation and potential bias. We've got a lot to unpack here.
We do. If an employee shows they can do the job well, even if it's not exactly the way the employer prefers, should that be enough? And how much leeway should employers have in defining essential, you know, without crossing the line into discrimination?
And we're back, diving deeper into EEOCV, the picture people.
Still trying to untangle this whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
It goes way beyond just the legal stuff. It gets us thinking about disability and how that plays out in the workplace.
Totally. We've got Jessica Chrysler, a deaf photographer, hired by the picture people, and then they let her go, saying she couldn't meet their communication needs.
And then remember, the court actually sided with the picture people. They said verbal communication was like a key part of the job.
Right, right. But let's zoom out for a second. Think bigger picture. This case, it didn't just affect Jessica Chrysler. It set a precedent, right? How ADA cases involving communication disabilities, how those might be handled going forward. Ooh, that's a good point. So what does this mean for everyone listening? Employer, employee, or just someone who likes to geek out on how the law works. What are the takeaways?
Well, let's start with employers. EEOCV, the picture people, it's like a giant flashing sign saying, hey, you need crystal clear job descriptions.
Not just like, you know, a vague list of duties.
But... Nope, no way. We're talking detailed breakdown. What's truly essential for someone to actually do that job well?
And that word essential, that's where things get messy.
Oh, for sure. Remember, the court, they put a lot of weight on the picture people's argument, the whole talking is essential thing for directing customers and making sales.
So if you're an employer, you can't just say something's essential. You got to be ready to back it up, right?
100%. That's how we've always done it. Not going to cut it. You've got to show how those requirements, they're tied to the core of the job, what it's all about.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here. Couldn't an employer just twist this whole thing? Claim almost anything's essential just to get out of making accommodations.
See, that's the danger zone, right? That's what makes this case so important. It's a balancing act. Employers, they need to ask themselves, if we took away this one specific skill, would it fundamentally change the job? Would it be a different job altogether?
And if the answer is yes, then you're probably dealing with an essential function. And you got to be upfront about that right there in the job description.
Being clear, it's a win-win. It protects you legally, and it lets your employees know exactly what's expected right from the start.
Okay, so we've talked about the employer side. But what about the employees? What does this case mean if you're an employee and you have a disability?
Well, EEOCVV, the picture people, it's a reminder. Be proactive, ask for accommodations. But those accommodations, they've got to focus on the essential parts of your job, the things you absolutely have to be able to do.
So the employer has to provide reasonable accommodations, but they don't have to, like, completely restructure the whole job.
Exactly. The court was crystal clear on that one. Accommodations can't fundamentally alter the job itself.
Sounds like open communication is key here. Employer and employee, just talking to each other.
Absolutely. Don't be afraid to have that conversation. What do I need to succeed? How can those needs be met? But without, you know, messing with the essential parts of the job, this case just shows how crucial that back and forth is.
It's all about finding that middle ground where everyone benefits. The ADA, it's not about giving special treatment. It's about leveling the playing field, making sure everyone has a real shot.
And this case, it's not just a legal issue, is it? It's about how we see disability, how we think about inclusivity as a society.
Yeah. Do we see a disability as like an obstacle, or do we see it as a difference that we can embrace, that we can accommodate?
It's a good reminder that we still have work to do. You know, creating workplaces where everyone feels welcome, everyone feels supported. And it starts with understanding these issues, how complex they really are.
I like that. Before we wrap up this part, I want to leave everyone with this. This case, it wasn't just about photography or legal definitions. It was about Jessica Chrysler's passion, her drive to make it in a field that some people might have said was, you know, closed off to her.
Yeah. Even though the court didn't rule in her favor, her story, it's inspiring. It's about pushing boundaries and advocating for yourself.
So next time you're at work or just out in the world, think about those invisible barriers, the ones that might be holding people back.
And ask yourself, what can I do? How can I challenge those barriers and make the world a more inclusive place for everyone?
Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Back at it again, exploring those legal twists and turns that shape our world.
We've been digging into EEOCV, the picture people, you know, really highlighting just how tricky it can be to accommodate communication disabilities.
Yeah, and how those complexities play out in real life situations. In this case, like a portrait studio.
We've looked at the facts, the court's decision, what it means for both employers and employees. So let's wrap this up. Distill it all down to those key takeaways for everyone out there, especially our legal eagles listening in.
This case really drives home the point that the ADA, it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of law. It's about, you know, really thinking about each individual situation.
Yeah, you got to look at the specific needs of the employee and then the specific demands of the job, too.
For lawyers who are handling ADA cases, this means doing your homework right. Dig deep, Scrutinize those job descriptions, research industry standards, gather solid evidence to build a strong case.
It's not enough to just throw around terms like essential function. You got to prove it.
Exactly. You need to be able to show why that function is truly essential, how it relates to the core of the job, and what happens if you take that requirement away.
You got to connect the dots for the court, make it crystal clear.
Absolutely. And when you're representing an employee with a disability, it's so important to showcase what they're good at, what they bring to the table.
And highlight those times when they were successful, even if it wasn't exactly the way the employer pictured it.
Remember how the dissenting opinion in this case, it brought up some serious questions about whether the employer might have been biased.
Yeah, it's a good reminder for lawyers to be on the lookout for any hints of discrimination, especially when someone asks for accommodations or, you know, even more telling when those accommodations are denied.
EEOC, the picture people. It's a case that every employment lawyer should know. It gives us valuable insights into how the ADA works in practice and just how tricky these reasonable accommodation requests can be.
And as our workplaces become more and more diverse, this case and all the questions it brings up are only going to become more important.
That's for sure. Well, there you have it. We've done a deep dive into this complex and fascinating case. Hopefully it was informative and maybe even got you thinking in new ways.
The law, it's a living thing. It's always evolving. So stay curious. Keep learning, and stay tuned for more deep dives into the wild world of law.
Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp. Thanks for joining us on the Duke Dive.